Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on OMF, we love having Mike Lombardi on Friday because Lombardi knows the Patriots organization inside and out, knows Belichick, how it all operates. And isn't it interesting and perfectly great timing for us? He knows the inner workings of the Cleveland Browns. He spent a couple of times in that Browns organization. So Mike is sponsored by Town Fair Tire, Needham Bank, and we be your bank. And by Indeed, post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. All right, Mr. Lombardi.
What did you do to the Cleveland Browns? Why are they so crazy? Why did you leave them in such disarray? Go.
It's your fault.
Wow.
I mean, look, it's funny. I wrote about it today for The Athletic. When I was there, I mean, look, I don't have any bitterness towards Jimmy Haslam whatsoever. Him firing me was the greatest thing because I got to come back to, I got to come to New England and work with the greatest coach of all time, and he got to pay me for it. So it was a double win for me. But, I wrote about this for The Athletic. It's up on their site. He asked me 10 days before he fired me to write up a detailed of how a pro organization through the eyes of someone like Belichick should operate. And I did. I spent probably, 15, 16 hours a day for a week on it, wrote it all up, put it in a notebook, gave it to him. Don't think he ever read it. And one of the things in that notebook, I said, look, you have to declare what kind of team you want to be. If you want guys who smoke marijuana but do cocaine and you don't want those guys, fine, we won't take them. If you have a rule against any domestic abuse, we won't take them. If you got to define what you want to be, you got to tell me who you want to be. And naturally he didn't read the book. He fired me and he hired John Dorsey, who really is the modern day Al Davis. John Dorsey doesn't care about character. He could care less. He could care less when he was in Kansas City. He doesn't care. He's carried Callaway for all this time. Callaway really didn't do anything at Florida other than had a reputation for being a great player. But, you have a bunch of guys that don't comply. How do you beat any good teams? They don't. And everybody blames Kitchen today. But I think this is on the owner, what he tolerates, and on the GM, who he brings in.
I think it's always on the owner. You've brought that up many times, and I couldn't agree with you more.
But hold on. Yeah. Wait, why? I mean, okay, so it's so fine. It's the owner.
It's the culture. Owner. It's the culture.
Hold on. What is this? So the owner stays out of it, says, hey, coach the team. And the coach does a crappy job coaching the team.
No, you can't. No.
How can this only be on the owner?
The owner can't. Because he owns the team. Who does he want to be? Any company
that
you
own.
You're
telling me Kitchens has no pride in what kind of product he puts out on the field?
He does have pride, but here's what happens. I want to cut Callaway. Dorsey says, we're not cutting Callaway. Where's your pride? I want to cut Callaway. I want him out of here. I don't want to play him. You got to play him. He's playing. Where's your pride? Al Davis, that's how he ran the team. You'd walk upstairs and say, Mr. Davis, this guy's a turd. He won't do this. He won't do that. He's on the team. Deal with it.
Now, in that situation, would you ever go over the GM's head and go talk to the owner and say, listen, I can't work like this?
You can't do it if you're Freddie Kitchens. You're in your first year. The GM just got you the job. He picked you. You work for him.
So now you're indebted to him.
Well, see, to me,
I mean, he's in a terrible situation.
That's the first mistake. I mean, Baker Mayfield loves Freddie Kitchens. Great. Keep him as your offensive coordinator. But you put all this talent, these personalities on the field. There's a lot of upside here. And to put it, Freddie Kitchens in charge of it, that's, to me, the decision makers above that. That didn't seem right.
They wanted Freddie because John wants to run the team. Everybody wants to be Al. I used to tell Al Davis this all the time. I said, you really started something bad in this league. Everybody wants to be like you. Everybody wants to be in control. And then Oliver North invented this word, plausible deniability. Remember that during the Contran Watergate? Yeah. That plausible deniability became like the key cornerstone of NFL franchises. You can run the team from above, have plausible deniability when anything goes wrong, and take all the credit when everything goes right, right? It's perfect. You'll see it all the time. I mean, when the 49ers lost, Prague Maratha didn't take anything. He took no blame. Now they're doing good. He wants all the credit. It's just the way the NFL is.
So, Mike, it just made me think of something. So if that's a scenario and Dorsey handpicked Kitchens, and for an obvious reason, because I'm assuming, you correct me if you think I'm right, because he probably felt like he couldn't handle Greg Williams.
He couldn't handle Greg. He's not going to handle anybody, because anybody who's – you think Belichick would have tolerated Antonio Callaway for how long? How long? Sleeping in meetings, not showing up, not –
Well, and neither would Greg Williams. So if he wants
I don't know. I don't know Greg enough to know how much he would tolerate.
Well, I know Greg, and I think he's – I mean, I always thought that they made the wrong decision, because I thought Greg was more of a disciplinarian and wouldn't take any crap, as opposed to Kitchen, who was just kind of happy he got the job and won't fight back.
I don't think it matters with Dorsey. He wants to bring in players. He doesn't care about the character of the player. He cares about the talent. You know, and that's hard to do when you're trying to build a team. When you're building a team, you better care about the talent of the players you're bringing in. And that's how the team endears themselves to one another. Meanwhile, the greatest sequence of all plays, the 49er game, Callaway runs the reverse the wrong way. They don't even bench him after he runs the reverse the wrong way. The next play, he drops a pass that gets caught up in the air, interception going back the other way. I mean, you know, they deserve, as Bill would often tell the team, we deserve what we just got there. They deserve it.
We're talking to Mike Lombardi. So you saw what happened last night, and just horrible optics for the National Football League. I can't believe it. Max Kellerman spent an hour today basically defending Myles Garrett and blaming it all on Mason Rudolph. We've actually had a couple calls.
Why would you listen to him? Like he's ever been in a locker room before. Like he's ever competed at a level like that before. Seriously, why would you listen?
That's a good point.
Like I don't know. All they do is yell at one another, and nobody's ever been in the battle before. Nobody's ever put together a team.
We usually listen and laugh.
Yelling back and
We laugh.
We laugh at it and make fun of them.
And we play the clips and make fun of them, Mike. That's what we do most of the time.
If that's the thing, but I mean, like at some point, I wrote this for the Daily Coach. At some point, you end up with personal freedom in your life where you don't even that stuff. All it does is get in the way of you being the best you can possibly be, because you're giving that something that's misinformed. Like, I just read a column. Somebody sent me on Twitter a column from NewJersey.com. I talked about it on my podcast, that the Giants should hire Jason Garrett as their next head coach.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe it? There was a newspaper columnist that wrote that. That was like in The Godfather when Michael says, we got people in the newspaper business. They would like a story like that, right?
It's The Godfather.
Not to change topic, because we have a bunch of questions for you, but just do you, you're in the news. I see you on TV all the time. We're constantly reading everything that you're putting out there. Is there a guy, is an analyst that you watch out there that you think gets it? Like, who do you respect the most that's on TV as far as analyzing? Former coach, player, GM, who?
I think what Tony does is really good. I think Romo's really good. I enjoy listening to him.
Yeah, but he's not an analyst. He's like, I'm talking about one of the talking heads on one of these shows who are like, you know, barking
really,
their opinions.
I rather read books. I read books. I don't watch much.
What's the last good book you read?
The last good book I read, and it's really a good book. It's called Sapiens. It's a brief history of humankind.
Oh, Jesus.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating.
You're way over our head. I thought you were going to say something really cool.
Does the book have pictures?
Yeah.
Christian?
Does it pop up? Do the pictures pop up?
Yeah. There's a lot. You know, there's another good book by Ray Dalio called Principles. I mean, that's really good if you're into business. I mean, you know, that's another one. So I think you have to, if you want to be a writer, you got to read. That's the only thing, and so that's what I do.
Mike, can you give me your explanation of what the hell's going on tomorrow down in Atlanta with Colin Kaepernick? The timing of it, everything?
I thought Bill's reaction was the best. Like, we're worried about Atlanta. We're worried about the Eagles. We're not. Like, can you imagine just how out of touch the NFL is by having a workout on a Saturday before every team plays?
Yeah.
We only get 16 of these, right? They all matter a lot. Like, it's not baseball, right? There's not 162 of them. They all matter a great deal. And yet we're going to go waste a Saturday to go down to watch a player that we can bring into a workout anytime we want. We could fly him in. We could spend time. Look, if Colin Kaepernick didn't get a job after Luke Falk's performance for the Jets, is there a team that's never going to hire? I mean, seriously.
You're right. So then, why do you think the NFL did it then?
I have no idea. I can't explain.
I mean, there's got to be a motive.
I mean, people weren't
it.
Talking about him. He's been gone for a while, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere.
To me, Mike, I
actually feel like this is Roger Goodell. Passing the buck, saying, you know what, if he doesn't play in the league, it's not my fault anymore, and putting it really on the owners.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, to me, I go both ways on this. I've never been a Kaepernick fan as a player. Even when he had the good year, I was worried about his accuracy, and I really didn't think his release all that. I wasn't a fan. He proved me wrong in that one season. However, that being said, in fairness to the kid, when you watch Luke Falk play or you watch some of these bad quarterbacks play for other teams, Mason Rudolph was as bad as you could possibly be last night before the incident, right? You watch some of these guys, you're wondering, how can that kid play and I can't? There is a legitimate argument there.
See, I think the Jay-Z theory is as good as any I've heard, that they've got a business arrangement and Jay-Z saying, oh, come on, you know, at least make it.
I'll help you get Rihanna. Yeah.
But the idea that Kaepernick and his people thought the general managers and coaches, Mike, were going to show up on a Saturday before everybody's playing on a Sunday. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Atlanta, the one team that might have been able to show up, they're out of town. They're playing
in the road. I don't think it's Kaepernick. I think Kaepernick said that tongue in cheek. I think this was more the league set this on Saturday. It just shows you how out of touch the league is with really what happens. Like, why would you have a workout on a Saturday? Like, somebody has to explain it to me. Like who's going to it? I mean, Jerry Jones already said the Cowboys aren't going. Yeah, but they didn't talk to other people in the league.
All right, Mike, let me ask you this, okay? Because when you look at the New England Patriots, okay, let me throw this out there at you, because you got, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Mahomes, you got Prescott, you got Deshaun Watson. Couldn't Kaepernick, I don't know if he'd be willing to accept it, help you more than Cody Kessler as a third-string quarterback, getting you ready to play these teams?
You know, I think he probably could, but I think that the variable here is Kaepernick has to play in a certain style of offense that's not conducive to what they do. It would be like, why didn't the Patriots draft Lamar Jackson? Well, I think they probably gave it a lot of thought, but I think at the end of the day, with Brady as the starter, the backup has to be more within symmetry to it, because the player that you're taking is so radically, dramatically different, and you would have to change your offense so much that it would be challenging to do that.
I'm just talking about practice squad, scout team.
He's the scout.
You want to get back in the league? Be here for seven weeks.
But I don't know. I don't know if he could be. Look, he only ran 68 times in the 13 games that he played the last time in the league. I don't know where he is medically. You know, will he still run around? Is he still as fast as he once was? I don't know the answer to that.
So, you know what, Mike? We've been going over so many things this week. The Patriots are coming off a bye week. I don't think
and
we've
watching
talked.
Max Kellerman too.
I mean, we just look for stupid stuff. We really don't watch it, or we just watch for stupid things. But I don't think we've even come close to touching this game. So the Patriots take a loss. Both teams are playing for a lot, and a lot of people are looking at the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 52, to draw some sort of comparison, to get some sort of information about how they think this game is going to go. I mean, Brady threw for over 500 yards. If that's what they do, I think they'll be good.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and let's just put it in perspective. The Eagles are much better. We're much better in that game defensively than they are right now. The Eagles defensively struggle now. They've got to handle the rush. This is the whole thing about a Jim Schwartz defense. You've got to be able to block the front. They've got to do a good job on Fletcher Cox. They've got to do a good job on these edges of the defense, and they can't allow the defensive front to really disrupt the game. They've got to tire them out, and they will throw the ball effectively. And then once they get going a little bit, then I think they can run the ball effectively on them as they get later into the drive when the Eagles' defensive front gets tired. It'll be a challenging game. The Eagles are rested. They're ready to go. The problem with Philly this year really has been their offense. They can't make any plays down the field. They have no explosiveness to their offense. Their leading receiver, Zach Ertz, is 12 yards a catch. Every other receiver is under 11. I mean, Jeffries is under 10. Aguilar is under 10, excuse me. I think Jeffries is right at 10 yards. They don't make any explosive plays down the field.
And they got no Jeffrey. Sprouls is out for the season now. Jordan Howard has been beaten up, and they just brought in Jay Ajayi, and they brought him in yesterday. So is this a week where this defense, Patriots defense, is going to look pretty good again, Mike?
I think the Patriots defense is really good. I think, look, the reality of the last 2 weeks is they've given up more yards on the ground. They've averaged 5.4 yards allowed rushing and 504 passing in the last couple of weeks. This is the best thing that ever happened to Belichick. He's got their full attention. I'm sure the leadership group, which is phenomenal, Jamie Collins, Hightower, those guys, I'm sure their full attention has been on the game plan this week. I think they'll play much better than they did in Baltimore. I think it might have been the best thing that happened to them. They can refocus and re-energize.
Mike, you said before, tire out that front for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if that's the case, do you expect a lot of no huddle? Which leads me to, if you do a lot of no huddle, is it another week where we just don't see N'Keal Harry?
No, I think you're going to see N'Keal Harry. I really do. I've been saying that all along. I think he's a good player. I think I think there's just sometimes you need to be patient. I think the game will come to him. I think he's a good player. I think the team knows he's a good player. I think it's just it's all going to come together. I think it's starting to come together for them. Once they get Isaiah Wynn back next week, I think you'll see a completely different offensive football team out of the Patriots, and I think that includes Harry.
All right, we'll talk about it with you next week, Mike. Thanks,
thanks Mike.
See
thanks,
you.
Guys.
Have a good one. See you later. That is Mike Lombardi right here on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kevin Walsh.
Bill, do you expect N'Keal Harry to play on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll activate the players that we feel like give us the best, you know, best chance to compete against Eagle.
Where is he in his development right now? Is he on track? Is he behind the curve? What would you say?
Yeah, I don't know what the track is. Go out there every day and try to get better. He's done a good job of that. He's worked hard. He's improved. He's a lot better than he was, you know, earlier in the year or even 2 weeks ago.
Right, that was Bill.
Hold on. He said he didn't know what the track was. Then he actually explained the track. Did you guys catch that?
I don't know what the track is.
But hold on. And then he goes.
But he's been a lot better now than he was 2 weeks ago.
He's working hard. He's doing a lot better than he was two. Yeah, so he's on track.
Yeah.
I don't know what the track is.
Well, I think we've all had a problem over the last two or three weeks because we're looking for the answer. This offense needs somebody else to be able to give them a jolt out there. And you look at a first-round draft pick and you say, N'Keal Harry, could he not be the answer? Ooh. And would you have no Josh Gordon? You're looking at him, you're saying kind of similar game or whatever, and we couldn't figure it out, right? And nobody's giving him flowering comments. And so what the hell's going on? Do they hate him down there? Does Brady not like him?
I feel a lot better about N'Keal Harry. I feel better about how they feel about him.
Because you heard Brady talk about it.
Finally. I mean, even that with Bill, he's a lot better now than he was 2 weeks ago. Okay. There's improvement. You like what you see. It's not, you know, when Fitzy asked him, he's surprised he wasn't active. In what sense? You know, that was his response. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, God, it's like, I understand he's a rookie, but can't praise him at all. And I felt like Tom Brady, you know, when we talked to him there, was it Wednesday?
Yep.
I felt like for the first time, like he finally told me something he liked. As a matter of fact, he said he loved about him.
No, I think with our team, I think it's what I think we've done over years is not project, you know, expectations for people that put them in an unfair position that people are expecting things that, you know, are not in my control. I mean, if you want to ask someone like N'Keal how he feels he's doing, you should ask him. But to ask me, and then put unfair expectations on a younger player, I mean, I don't think that's helpful at all. So it's really up to each individual player, not just N'Keal, because I like N'Keal a lot. You know, but everybody's role is earned, and I think that's been the mark of the Patriots, and that's part of the culture is, you know, you got to go out there and you got to earn a spot and you earn a role, and you do that by through practice, earning the trust of your teammates and your coaches that you can be counted on, you know, when the moments are their biggest. And, you know, it's unfortunately for N'Keal, he got hurt early in training camp. So it just, he didn't have the development, you know, for when other guys were practicing for over 2 months. So, but he's working hard. He's extremely, you know, hardworking. He wants to do it. He's got a great edge about him. I really love that. I really love his tenacity. And he's learning every day, and he's working hard to get better. And I think that's all you can ask of a younger player.
So we wasted two or three weeks sitting here trying to read the voice language. What are they talking about? They don't like him. What is the problem? Is he not a hard enough worker? Is it? And we found out, and Brady did it perfectly. He described exactly what the issue was.
Well,
you don't want to put
that,
high,
you know,
expectations.
Things he loved about him.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like for the past 7-8 weeks, whatever it was, when we talk about young wide receivers and Jacoby Myers or N'Keal Harry's back in the mix. You ask him about N'Keal Harry and he gets into this long speech about veteran players and trust, you know, and how hard it is for rookies. And never really talks about N'Keal Harry. Just talks about, you know, how hard it is for rookies to implement themselves into this, onto this team.
Tom, well, were you at all surprised that N'Keal Harry wasn't activated for the game last night?
In what sense?
So when you hear stuff like that, you're like, God, you don't even. So I felt like he, you know, on Wednesday, finally was like, you know, I love the tenacity. I love the way he fights for the ball. Then you got Bill saying he's better than he was 2 weeks ago. So I feel like now it's leading up to him playing this weekend. Now, I don't know what kind of role that's going to be. I still find it hard to believe that it's red zone. I really don't. Well, you know, this like trust.
Well, hold on, but
first and goal from the eight, he's going to throw the ball to N'Keal Harry in the red zone, throw it up there in the corner route.
If it's in the first or second or third quarter, yes.
What
stood out to me was more of the second half of the answer when you really got a really good indication of what's most important to the Patriots was when he talked about where they were in certain games and big circumstances.
When I think of trust and dependability, I don't think of that as being on a team where you're 8-8. I think trust and dependability on a level of a championship level team. You know, I think there's a lot of players that, you know, it might be okay to be 8-8, and they've been involved in teams that are 8-8 or less than that, 4-12 or 2-14, and they can make some plays, but it's one thing to make plays on a team that's 2-14. It's another to do it with consistency on a team that's 14-2. And I think, you know, our teams have been typically competing for our division, competing for the conference championship, and then beyond that. And I think we require a very, very high level of consistency and dependability. And if you don't bring that, then I think other people can fill those roles. So it's not a knock on any players. It's really a credit to the guys that, you know, have been able to, you know, look at the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. You know, who's in the game, you know, and that's who the team trusts the most. You know, if you think back to our Seattle game, if you think back to our game against Atlanta, if you think back to the Eagles game, if you think back to the Rams game, who was on the field? And that's who everyone felt in the biggest moment gave our team the best chance to win.
So to me, there's a couple things. There's obviously, you know, who's in the game in those important moments. And then he's not going to project expectations on a kid that isn't capable of even meeting those expectations. It's not fair.
Right.
No, because it's not fair. He's too new. He's too young. He's too green. Okay, so fine. So red zone, you can't play in the red zone? Sure. First quarter, second quarter. But am I going to have N'Keal Harry out there on a fourth quarter, 2-minute drive to win the game?
Too dangerous.
If I don't have to, I won't.
Well, too dangerous.
I'd rather have somebody else. Because the last thing you want is someone who just, one, has not been tested. Two, you don't know if you can even trust him. So you go to Philip Dorsett. Yeah, but you're not as good. Philip Dorsett isn't as good. No, but what Philip Dorsett makes up for in what he lacks in talent, he makes up for in consistency, in trust. And that, to me, is more valuable than height, strength, speed, catch rate, and all of it. He trusts him.
Well, Brady's talked about this in the past before about, you know, these younger players and trusting them. And it's all about, do they run the route the way I want them to run it? So you're right, Christian. If it's late in the game, he's not going to trust throwing the ball to N'Keal Harry. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in a personnel group in red zone though early on in the game, Lou, because that should be the one thing you want to start working with him on, because he's one answer that you have to a team right now that's struggling in the red zone. But it does make sense, Christian. Brady's not going to put him on the line in the fourth quarter. We talk about Brady doesn't throw to these young kids. He's not throwing in a key point of the game to one of
them. And that's Josh McDaniels.
We brought this up yesterday, too, and bringing it back to everything you've been saying about N'Keal Harry and the unfair expectations. It was good to hear, you know, because I do agree with it. And we're wondering if that's what it was. You know, is it just because a rookie? So, and I agree with him 100%. You know, I kind of was referencing, you know, baseball, you know, and saying that, you know, the expectations of Jackie Bradley Jr. when he hit 500 in camp as compared to the expectations of Mookie Betts, who nobody knew about coming up through the minor leagues until, like, you know, right before he got called up. You know, the expectations were higher for Jackie, and it was tough to meet him, and he got sent back down. So with this kid, that's their way of just calming and being like, listen, I really love this kid, but I'm not going to say it because they're never going to get too excited. And I don't know how he's going to play. Under the lights, he might be nervous. He might have a tough game, you know. And I, you know, so I don't want to overhype the kid. So I feel like they like him. My question is, obviously, a guy like Philip Dorsett is ahead of him in the trust tree, correct?
Edelman
and Sanu.
Should be.
Do you think he can ever pass Dorsett by the time this season's over?
Yes.
Because I think it's important for him to do that this offense.
I think he's more talented, right? That's why I think it's important for him
to pass Philip Dorsett. The question is, I don't know if he's got enough time to do that.
I think they want him to. That is the goal. Guys, we have 7 games left, not including the playoffs. So we expect his trajectory to go up pretty quickly. And as soon as we can identify when he's kind of figured it out, we're putting him in. Now, we still may protect him because we just won't give him, you know, difficult plays, but we got to slowly feed him and see what he can handle. And that starts Sunday. That's when it starts.
I'll tell you what, this is a
start team. Building a resume. Start doing it now.
Coming up in the next segment, we'll get into the game a little bit and whether anybody thinks that the Eagles are a threat to the Patriots in this
game.
Sunday. But this is a team, if you look at them, that you can throw the football against. They're big up front, and we were just talking about that. But you can throw the football. And, by the way, they've got some veterans in that secondary that Tom Brady probably has seen a few times and has got some ideas how he can lure them into some stuff. I like the way that Lou weaved the analogy right into baseball.
He did.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize that.
Baseball, all you need to do is have good hearing. And once you hear it off the trash can, you
bang.
Know exactly
oh,
how
that's
to play
true.
The game.
That's
all you need is good hearing.
Change up.
Bang, bang.
They're putting, videos
what,
out.
What? Do it again.
They're putting videos out there now of the Houston Astros doing it in regular season games.
They're doing it all year in 2000.
Oh, no, it's all coming out.
Ridiculous. All right, 617-779-7937. More coming up next.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this? Yeah, what's up, guys?
The reason we're going to win, and this is 100% truth, 100% what I feel in every ounce of my Eagles energy. We are going to win Sunday, and don't laugh, because the better coach is on our sideline. You want to talk about the Super Bowl and Brady not getting over it? I'll tell you what, Bill Belichick really hasn't gotten over it, because you put a lie detector to that guy, and I'll bet you he has zero respect for Doug Peterson.
Ooh. WIP in Philadelphia, the call is down here on crack, obviously. That is an insane
statement. Let's just talk this through for a minute.
Okay. Talk it through.
So Bill hasn't gotten over that loss to Philly. What happened the next year?
Well, the next year he won the Super Bowl.
Well, how are they doing this year?
They're doing all right. They're doing better than
Philadelphia. They did lose a game.
I mean, most of the time when you say they still haven't recovered from that, you talk about the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
They haven't recovered. They haven't recovered. How do you sit there and say they still haven't recovered from that? Oh, he hasn't.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl the next year.
It's Philly.
Who has the most irrational fans?
Philly, as far as Philly or Boston?
Philly,
we're close second.
I would say push. I would honestly say push.
I can see someone.
We get that all the time. Just nonsense. Just random. Makes no sense whatsoever.
I know, but
I feel like you're not giving Boston enough credit.
Well, I say it's a tie.
Well, I think we might be number one.
Wow.
We want to be number one with everything.
Oh, that's true. You know, you're right. Oh, great. Now people are going to call in. No, we're more irrational than they.
No, we're stupider than they.
We're so dumb. Let's listen to this comment. Insane. Right about that, though. I'll show them, WEEI guys, how irrational I am.
This is Boston.
Guys just fitsy off to no end. How about a big WIP caller, John? This guy makes a lot of sense. Listen to this.
Keith, what do you want to say about the game Sunday?
Listen to me. Eagles are going to go all out with this game. I'm going to tell you, Eagles are going to win by 1 point.
Oh.
It's going to be 25-24 or 24-23.
Okay.
They're going to win by 1 point.
24-23. I may just adopt your score today, Keith, because I got no idea what to do. Why are we going to win? What's going to make the Eagles win this game?
By 1 point?
Okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be up. We're going to be down by 1 point, and then we're going to march down the field, and our field goal kicker is going to kick like a 62-yarder, and we're going to make the game.
A 62-yarder.
Down by a point.
They happen all the time.
So they'll win by 2. Yards. They're down a point when the guy kicks the
field. Oh, you're right.
All right, so that was one of their irrational callers. Can we find one of our irrational callers that are going to say that the Patriots are going to kick a 70-yarder? You know what? You're 62, that's nothing. Who is the Patriots kicker? I feel like we haven't. Oh, Folk. Nick Folk. Nick Folk's going to kick a 70-yarder.
It was good last week. He was better than Vinatieri.
You were talking about looking back at that Super Bowl. Is that going to tell us anything? They're completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not completely. I mean, you know, I still think Philly's okay, but they're not as good as they were that year.
No, I think.
And the Patriots' offense, don't know if they're as good as they are. They might be at some point. You know, N'Keal Harry, Sanu, they get comfortable. They might be. But right now, they're not. They can't run the football. Just the defense, the Patriots defense is much better than it was.
Yeah, but they have the Philly special. They have the Philly special against you. No, Doug Peterson is a good coach. We all agree he's a good coach. He's not Belichick, but he's a damn good coach. And he outcoached Belichick, obviously, in that Super Bowl. So you give him credit for this one. Okay, here's this another caller for WWE.
John, hi, Johnny.
This is just what we needed. This team, I'm with Rhea. First time all year, the Eagles are winning this game, and I want to tell you why.
Why?
This is the football season starts Sunday. The New England Patriots, I hate them more than the Dallas Cowboys, including Tom Brady and their coach. If I hear one more time about him not being over the Super Bowl, this guy is a fraud, and he fits right in New England. I'm serious. I don't want to hear about him being the GOAT. Yes, he's a competitor. Yes, he's tough. Oh. Yes, he's a winner. If you're going to tell me all those things, then you have to admit he's also a sore loser, he's also a poor sportsman, and he's a poor role model. He has, I hear one more time about him not being over the Super Bowl, you know what I'm not over? I'm not over the fact that he still hasn't shaken Nick Foles' hand. But when he wins a game, he spends all day on the field with his arm around Mahomes, his arm around Russell Wilson. Oh, look at Tom Brady. Look at the winner this guy is. Look at him consoling these people. It's a fake. It's a phony, and it's a fraud. And on top of it, he's a cheater. Somebody can't be the GOAT if you've cheated. A known fact that you
I love
cheated.
This guy. This guy's great.
God, I feel I feel like we should have a competition.
Who started this rumor in Philadelphia that Belichick is not over that Super Bowl? As Luke pointed out, they won last year.
I know, but there was sound of Brady with Greg Hill and Danielle talking about
that he wasn't over.
I asked Bill about it. He's like, there was a loss in 75 that I'm not over.
Yeah.
76, you know what I mean?
High school.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
That was good.
I feel like, all right, you got another one?
No, here's Bill talking about it at the press conference today.
Thomas said you never really got over the last time you guys played the Eagles. Does that game stick in your mind when you face the team again?
I mean, I think you remember those games. I mean, I remember games I lost in high school. I remember games I lost in Pee Wee football. I remember games I lost to the Giants and Cleveland. And, I mean, yeah, those games, sure, they stick with you. I mean, you remember some of the wins, but I think the losses stick with you more. But that's all in the past. That's water under the bridge right now. So we'll focus on this week and see how this one comes out.
I don't know. Philadelphia, they don't think you're over all of this stuff. So we've been playing stuff from WIP, their morning show, Angelo Cataldi, and Al Morganti, who talked about Tom Brady this morning.
Paisans. But here's what I will tell you about this. If you think that this is all in the hands of Tom Brady, you're wrong.
Ooh.
His season has been so down. Compared to the way he's been. If you're thinking back to the Super Bowl and what you saw there, it just is not even a shadow of that. Throwing a ball away, third down efficiency, throwing to receivers. It's remarkable, the difference. And Father Tom doesn't lose. It just doesn't lose.
Another idiot.
Father Time does not lose.
Here's the problem. The problem, he hasn't watched the Patriots. So what he's doing is he's looking at some of the numbers because he's right. He's throwing the ball away a lot more. And there's a reason for that, obviously. And we know the reason here because we watch him every week. Yeah.
Smart reason.
Because he doesn't want to take the sack. He doesn't want to get hit. He wants to keep the body going. Second one, third down situation or whatever. Well, they don't have a running attack. So he's playing right now with one of the worst running games in the league. He's had different receivers every week. AB was here, then he was gone. Josh Gordon is here, then he's gone.
He's also a poor sportsman, and he's a poor role model.
Okay, I forgot about that. I apologize.
I don't know, if you're going to talk about a guy going up against your team, would you say that when you have like one of the worst secondaries in football right now?
No.
You know, I mean, there's a good chance that he might look a lot more like Tom Brady from 2 years ago here this week, coming off of a bye.
I would say I could make an argument that Carson Wentz is not the quarterback we thought he was going to be 2 years ago. Now, granted,
it's not even
wasn't
about
the,
Wentz.
No, yeah, it isn't.
Wentz, we don't know what the hell Wentz is, but I'm just saying, like, Tom,
well, he was good.
I'll tell you what, you know, I've talked about this team. I thought they're going to lose against Baltimore. I think Tom has a big game here against Philadelphia. Ooh. I mean, I think it's one of his better games of the year. I think they torched that secondary. Sanu's more comfortable. Edelman is there. I think Dorsett's involved. You'll see N'Keal Harry a little bit. I think he tortures him.
Well, I also think you can add into the equation the embarrassment of losing that game in Baltimore, yeah. the way they lost it, the fact that the defense has taken a major hit.
You just got smoked. You lost by Baltimore. They killed you.
Killed you.
You had 2 weeks bye week.
And boogeyman.
And there's a lot of guys still that sit there and said, that team over there took a Super Bowl from you. Now, you can't win the Super Bowl by winning this week, but... You know, no. It just to me, everything adds up. Them blowing this team out.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think Philly scores an awful lot. Their running game right now is in question. We've already told you that Jordan Howard.
Yeah, has I'd be been more worried about the other
Alshon Jeffrey is ruled out.
Out of the game entirely. Yeah. Sproles is out for the season now, apparently.
Yeah, he was never involved.
No,
Jeffrey's
he was
big.
He was hurt all year.
Jordan Howard, power guy, but that kid Miles Sanders, kid, he's pretty good.
Yes.
Now it's just him.
Yes.
Look, maybe. We'll see.
But I think what happened last 2 weeks ago. It's been 2 weeks now. What happened 2 weeks ago is going to wake them up. This defense is going to play well in this game. And part of it is, in all fairness, Philadelphia's got problems. They've got injury problems. They've had them all year long. Looked like they were starting to get healthy, and now they're taking a step backward. So
that's what I think. I think Teddy said it too. Like if he was on this team right now, given what had happened, he couldn't wait to stop the run. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're called out now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They abused you. You've been called out. You're no longer a good defense. Like, actually, you might be just okay. You know why? Because
you've
can't
been exposed.
Stop the run.
Yeah.
You've been exposed. So you're talking about a front seven right now that is like, okay. You know, I mean, you have 2 weeks to sit on it. Yeah, I think that this is a dominating performance from this team.
I think once again, the question for New England will be, can the offensive line hold up that front? That's going to be the big question again, because that's the strength right now.
So
if you look at Philadelphia.
Even Bill was talking about how they play their ends. Not to get all Matt Chatham and all 22.
Ooh, here we go.
But they play their ends wide. So they want everything funneled inside.
Yep.
Everything funneled inside. Yep. Let their linebackers, let those guys deal with it. So
Fletcher Cox, and they got talent in there.
And Sonny Michel, I mean, we'll see how they work it out.
Do we have to talk about him again?
No, well, I do think he's an important part. I mean, it's, if they're forcing you inside,
Sonny
they want to funnel everything inside.
Remember him, Sonny Michel.
Who's that? Is that guy they drafted in the first round a few years ago?
That is the guy that is your starting running back. Yeah, he's the starting running back.
The guy that played with Nick Chubb in college?
It was Nick Chubb. They were
drafted
actually,
before
he
him?
Was, Nick Chubb was his backup.
God, imagine if they had Nick Chubb right now.
Imagine if Nick Chubb was with the Patriots and Sonny Michel was with the Browns.
See, that's the amazing thing to me.
Swap those
when
two
you
out.
Look at the Cleveland Browns, and we were talking about them earlier, and you look at the two running backs, I think you said they were, you know, top five running back duo in the league.
Well, Hunt was when he left the game. He was top three, four.
Yeah. And he can catch the ball,
and
too.
Honestly, I don't think
saw.
He's lost much. He hasn't run the ball that much, but you see a couple of those little short passes,
yes.
The way he broke some tackles and took off. You're like, geez, this guy's really good.
How about your receivers? Would you say your receivers? Odell Beckham Jr., is he pretty good?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
And I actually hate the Cleveland Browns for what they've done to him. Yeah.
So they've got...
They've taken Odell Beckham out of the NFL.
Out. He's gone, so.
Like, they've taken
exist.
Him, and they've just said, listen, the NFL's going on. You're over here now. You are no longer a personality. You are no longer a great player.
So
you're just a... wide receiver.
Amazing. They got personnel at the running back spot. They got real good personnel at the wide receiver spot. Tight end, better than New England. Right? Maybe not great, but better than New England. Offensive line, pretty good. It's the quarterback that sucks. And the coach, who also is running your plays in. That's where they suck. Are you
last
kidding
I
me?
Checked, those two things are kind of important, the quarterback and the coach.
Could you imagine if you flip-flopped and you had Brady go over to Cleveland and you had Baker Mayfield come to he come to New England and Tom Brady go to Cleveland.
And Bill's got to go too.
Yeah, Bill's
how quickly would that? How quickly would they turn
14-2
team
year one
around first year?
Is the next game Sunday?
And I do think there's something to say about the whole Dorsey relationship not hiring Greg Williams.
Sure.
If Dorsey hired Kitchens because he could walk all over him, I'm not gonna. And he knew, and then hire him. He felt like he probably had some sort of ownership over his decisions. So. Kitchens never going to go over his head to the owner. He can't bite the hand that feeds him, and that would mean him going over his head. It's such a problem. I mean, it's such a problem. It's never going to change.
That's why sometimes you look at the personnel and you say, you know,
it doesn't mean squat.
How can't, right. It really doesn't.
And I love
how all the pieces fit.
Well,
really
even and when you're a quarterback who can't get out of his own way half the time, comes out and talks about how we can't keep hurting ourselves, isn't that kind of like, him just Joe Flacco. Remember when Joe Flacco was calling out his coach? Vic Fangio.
That was the last game he played.
It was the last game he played, but it was almost like he had some power. He's like, screw it, I'm going all in.
We're now a 2-6 football team, and we're like afraid to go for it in a 2-minute drill. You know, like who cares if you give the ball back to the guys with a minute and 40 seconds left? They obviously got the field goal anyway.
I know, it's weird. So Baker Mayfield basically doing the same thing. They won the game. Yeah, Baker Mayfield has got to go on after the game, sideline interview, on-field interview, and talk about how they can't do this anymore and they keep killing themselves. That's a message to his coach.
Meanwhile, how big of a win was that for him?
It was huge.
I mean, that's, you know.
Beating the Steelers,
your season
won, like,
is basically over if you lose.
But
all
how
right?
do you,
they go
you...
to 6-4, you're whatever they would have been, right? You're sitting there at, whatever, 3-7. They win, that's a big game. And this is, once again, even though you win a big game, play, you know, you played okay. You won in a row. It's a good game. This is how you got to address it now. This is what you dealt with. It's a mess.
Yeah, you come out of that game, and you should be ecstatic. You should be okay. Look at our schedule. Pushover schedule. They're playing against Miami next game. We got a pushover schedule. We can still make the playoffs. And instead, you've got this gigantic headache on your hands right now that's not going away. We'll address it. We'll get into more of it. The NFL has had their say. They have laid out the suspensions with Myles Garrett and two others. We will get to all of it coming up in the final hour of OMF. This past hour has been brought to you by Right Window. We got 30 minutes commercial free. Next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.